New England Baptist College is a very special place. I believe that God raises up in every generation places for men of God and ladies of God who are called into service to be trained. And, college is not a non-biblical concept. You find the word college actually mentioned a couple of times in the scriptures. Maybe a little more of what we would consider to be what we call Bible college would have been what was in the Old Testament called the school of the prophets. You ever remember reading that little phrase over in Kings, the school of the prophets? And obviously, it's a place where young men of God would come to be trained by older men of God. That's what you're doing right here, even in 2022. You've made a very wise choice to come to New England Baptist College. I hope that you will finish, not only finish your freshman year, if you're just here and been here 3 days. Hey, don't bail yet, all right? It's not time to go see mom yet, all right? That can be on a different weekend many weeks from now when the homesickness has stopped. But I hope and pray that you will come because you have been called and that you will finish your course. If you're a senior, don't get senioritis. You know what senioritis is? You got that in high school, right? About old January, you were done. You are ready to move on to the next phase. Be careful that you don't miss out on what God has planned for you every day that you're enrolled at New England Baptist College. And I hope that you'll walk across this platform. I'm assuming this is where graduation is. You walk across this platform receiving a diploma. And I trust that you'll walk out into the life and the calling that God has placed in your life to do something great for the cause of Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you about that? And I hope that you'll commit yourself to that special task. Well, we've been in Joshua chapter number 3. And again, I say thank you for your patience and allowing me to kind of just... To be honest, this morning I looked at it again. I had 3 standalone sermons. This was going to be Monday. I had another sermon I was going to preach yesterday and another sermon I was going to preach today. For whatever reason, the Lord has just kind of had us in this holding pattern. And so we'll finish all of the thoughts that I believe the Lord would have us to give today on the subject of go after it. Go after it. Joshua 3. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to read the first 5 verses again, just to kind of remind us where we have been in the context of the story. We have, obviously, the older generation represented by Moses. Moses has now passed off the scene. He's died. He was 120 years old. Joshua, who is now in his 80s, is kind of the young, at least representative of the next generation beyond Moses. The young leader is speaking to the even younger crowd. And we're making you that younger crowd. We're allowing you to be the ones that were 20 and below that wandered in the wilderness, but you did not die in the wilderness. And so now you have been brought up to the Jordan River. All right? So is everybody tracking with me so far? That's where we've been the last couple of days. Would you take your Bible with me? I'm just going to ask you to stand. Let's just stand a moment here. Would you read for me, and I'll rest my voice a moment. You all be Brother Boyle together, all right? So I want you girls to get that really bass voice that Brother Boyle has, all right? Again, I am very jealous of that voice. I tell you, that's a good one. All right, so you read with me, Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5. Ready?
And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the mark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it.
Amen. Keep reading. You got stuck on the go after it, didn't you? All right, keep reading verse 4. That's where we're going to be today. Keep reading. Ready?
Yep. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Amen. Father, thank you now for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that these last few moments that I have with these precious college students, Lord, would be beneficial and profitable for the kingdom of God and for eternity. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us to see the truths that we may apply to our lives and to our future ministries and calling. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We said that you are in a transitional time of life. You're coming out of your teenage years. You're stepping now into what we call adult life, and whether that's at 18, I know that's kind of what our culture says at 18, you're kind of an adult. I know a lot of 30-year-olds that I don't think have yet reached adulthood. Adulthood has a lot more to do with maturity than it does age. Would you agree with me about that? So you may be 18, and you may be very mature. In fact, I would suggest that probably there are a lot of mature young adults in this college. You've chosen a higher call. You've chosen a higher way of living. You've chosen to live by certain biblical standards. There's something about your character level that I see in a student body such as is at New England Baptist College. And so you're to be commended for that. However, you are still in this transitional time. And anytime you're in a transitional time, there is a possibility of there being instability. Did you hear what I said? When you're transitioning, there's a possibility of being in an unstable situation. You're moving from one spot to another spot. You're moving from home to a college dormitory. You're moving from a very safe environment, especially if you've grown up in a good Christian home, and now you're stepping into kind of the unknown. You don't know what the future is going to hold. You've always had the security of mom and dad and a pastor and a church and maybe a Christian school and all these people that loved you, and now you're kind of branching out into adult life and maybe a little bit of anxiety of what's the future going to hold and who am I going to marry or am I going to get married? Is anybody going to even ask me for a date? Is there going to be a companion? That was for the girls, guys. Don't make them wonder, okay? But my point is you may have a lot of questions and you're in a very transitional, and the word I used yesterday is a very vulnerable place in your life. And all of that being said, this is why the rest of the message is of vital importance for you to know, not just why it is important to go after it. We discussed that yesterday. The why is because you have not passed this way heretofore. You've got to keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant, which we'll get to at the end of the message. And that is the reason, because you've never made these particular steps. You've not yet been across the Jordan River. You've not yet, and we talked about all of those C words. You don't have children yet. You don't have a companion yet. You don't have a career and a calling yet. You haven't even finished college yet. You're in this very middle ground right here. So that is why it is very important for you to go after it. Let's answer the second question, and that is the question, when? I want you to notice in verse number 5, and you almost stopped reading before we got to where we were going to be, right? So look at verse number 5. Would you read verse 5, the whole verse, one more time for me? Here we go. Ready?
And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Now, if you remember a couple of days ago, yesterday I believe it was, we saw that in verse 1 and 2, they'd come up to the Jordan River, but he said, I want you to wait for 3 days. Remember that? I want you to wait for 3 days. We talked about sometimes God brings us to a spot and then he says, now let me get you ready. That's kind of what college is. You're getting ready. Do you know the Apostle Paul had some times, about 3.5 years, that he was kind of in the backside of the wilderness, as it were, a little bit like Moses. There was a preparation time. There was a time before the entering into the ministry or the public call of God. I'm getting you ready. And that's what you are in that time period now. And so you've come up to the spot where the 3 days are about to be accomplished. And now he says, and I want you to look at the word in verse number 5, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, wait a minute. This does not infer that you are to wait until you are going to cross the Jordan. I want to give you a great thought here, and it's going to go back to another colon. Do you see another colon that is mentioned in verse number 5 like it was mentioned in verse number 4? Sanctify yourselves, colon, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Watch this. Remember we said a colon is in the English language that the second phrase explains or illustrates what he just said in the first phrase. So he says at the end of verse number 5, tomorrow the Lord is going to do great wonders for you. But he says before that, sanctify yourselves, colon, why? Explain, illustrate, what am I supposed to do to get ready for tomorrow? Listen to me carefully. What you go after today is where you will end up tomorrow. You see, when tomorrow comes, when the sun comes up and it's ready to move, when we're ready to go across the Jordan River, I have to have made myself ready. And I tell you this morning, listen, guys, when is it time? Not only the why of when, of why we're supposed to go after, but when is important as well. And more importantly than that, to be prepared for the when that comes. You see, one day, guys, you're going to pastor a church, or you're going to be on a mission field, or you're going to be a daddy to some children, or a husband to a wife, and you're going to have to right now have been sanctifying yourself. You're going to have to right now getting prepared and getting ready. The word sanctify means to what? Set apart. It means to consecrate. I want you to notice, and we'll bring it out in just a moment here when we get to the last point. There was a special called group of people that were the ones allowed to carry the ark. Do you remember who those guys were? The Levites. The priests and the Levites. Oh yes, they were a very special tribe. They were of the sons of Aaron, Moses' brother, and they were sanctified and dedicated. And we won't get into all of that, but very much like so, guys, those of us called into the ministry are the ones that likewise need to be sanctified and set apart for the calling and the holy living and righteousness that God has asked us to give to the people of God. Can I say it this way? In many cases, we are the modern day Levites. We are the ones that attend to the ministry. We are the ones that do the work of God and the calling of God and the reading of the scriptures and the preparing and the study and the prayer. You do remember Acts chapter number 6, right? Remember when God gave deacons to the first church? Why? So that the men of God, the apostles, they could spend their time in the study and ministry of the word and prayer. You see, I'm just trying to say, before you're going to get over to step across the Jordan, you've got to get sanctified. When is it time to go after it? Well, he said, tomorrow you're going to step across the Jordan, but tomorrow is only going to come if you prepare for it today. I love this statement. I use it often preaching to teenagers, and it's three words. Decision determines destiny. Decisions determine destiny. You see, right now, you're going to determine what kind of a man of God you're going to be, what kind of a woman of God you're going to be. You're determining now. You're sanctifying yourself now. You're setting yourself apart now in this preparatory time, in this transitional time, as to what kind of a Christian leader you are going to be. That's why Ecclesiastes 12:1 reminds us, remember now thy Creator, when? In the days of thy youth. Hey, it's not just time when you get that pulpit. Look, it's too late. If you get called to some pulpit somewhere and you haven't gotten prepared, you are going to be immediately in over your head. You know why? Because you have gotten to get need to have gotten ready. The preparation time. That's why college is so important. That's why these classes are so important and the projects are so important. I told you I'm teaching a class down at Vision this year, and so I just got asked about 10 days ago, and so I'm developing a whole course on ministry ethics and etiquette here, and so I've gotten a lot of that work done while I've been here the last couple of days. My point, though, is that this time of what I'm trying to decide, what is important, what do I want to teach, what do I want a young man to know about ethics? What do I want some young pastor to know of what I've learned from 32 years about being ethical in the pulpit and ethical with the opposite sex and learning to be appropriate and to have the right kind of a marriage and be appropriate with the finances? All of these things. Now watch, those boys and girls that I'm going to have in that class, are going to be getting some preparation of sanctification. I've got to put these things now in my life so that I can then develop them later in my ministry. You see, you watch. You're going to have to learn to build your character right now so that when you are in the ministry, the character just takes over. It's just like second nature. You need to make decisions right now about morality. Don't wait until the temptation comes. Right now you decide, I'm going to be a virgin until I get married. Right now decide you're going to walk down a wedding altar pure and clean. Why? That's a decision you need to make so that when that time comes, you're ready to step across the Jordan. You need to right now not be a lover of money, because the Bible is very clear that a man of God in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 has to be very, very careful about finances and about money and about the lust of the flesh that may overcome us. Why? Right now, you need to be learning to be good with your money. What am I saying? The win, you're sanctifying yourself. The win of to going after is to prepare and sanctify and set apart yourself unto the Lord. You know what Romans 12 says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't you want to find the perfect will of God? Don't you want to know what God has for you in your future? Guess when you start deciding that? Today. Today. Oh yeah, tomorrow you're going to walk across the Jordan River, but today you've got to sanctify yourself. So again, circle that little colon in verse number 5. Because again, the second phrase is explaining of the sanctification process that takes place first. Sanctify yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. And then we come to the last question. We've answered the question of why. Why is it important to go after it? Secondly, when is it important to go after it? And lastly, and here's really the main gist of this message is, what am I actually going after? What is it that I'm supposed to be following? We really haven't answered the it question yet. Go after it. What is the it? Well, let's look, and it's very, very clear in verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, watch this, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, Then ye shall remove from your place and do what? Go after it. So what was so special about the ark? The ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. We will not take time to go back and talk about the importance of the ark as it was built and the items that were inside. And of course, they had this ark now for many, many generations. They had carried the ark of God through the wilderness. And every time the tabernacle would be set up, it would be in a very special place, the Holy of Holies. It was a very special piece of furniture. And so now the ark has come, and he says, when the ark gets moved, you are to go after it. But what was the ark? Very simply put, guys, the ark was the symbol of the power and presence of God. The symbol of the power and the presence of God. Now, I understand in the New Testament age that we have the Holy Spirit of God that now dwells within us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We know that in the New Testament age. But in the Old Testament, there was a physical symbol. It's almost like a wedding ring. My wedding ring is a physical symbol of my love that I have for my wife. It's the vows that I made 32 years ago that I would be faithful to her. It's a physical symbol. We talk about baptism often being a physical symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save anybody, right? But it's a physical symbol of what's already taken place in the heart. Are you with me? You tracking with me? But in the Old Testament, there was a physical symbol. It was the Ark of the Covenant. And not just anybody could be around it. Not just anybody could carry it. That was the Levites and the priests. We just mentioned that a moment ago. It was set apart in the Holy of Holies in a very special place behind the veil. Only one time a year could the high priest go in on the Day of Atonement and offer the atoning blood to cover the sins for that year. You know how special the ark was. And he said, now when the ark, when this very special reminder of the power and the presence of God, remember the Shekinah glory that was talked about that sat on the ark. It was a very special thing. And he said, now when that ark moves, when the priests and the Levites in verse 3, when they pick that up and they begin to move across the Jordan, he said, that is what you are to follow. Go after it. Would you skip down to verse 10? It gives us a little bit more of an indication of the specialness of this. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the, would you read the next phrase with me, the living God is among you. That's what he was saying. The ark is the representation of the living God. And look at me, guys. God is alive. And he is well. He is not dead. He lives within you in 2022 if you're saved in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It is real. The calling that you have followed, it is real. What God wants you to do with the Bible that we preached about last night, it is real. I'm saying to you, the living God has placed his hand upon you. And that ark is about to move, and you have to go after it. You do not want to be left behind from where God is moving. See, I've been doing this for 32 years, and for whatever reason, God's moved me to a couple of different places. I was in Indiana first as a youth pastor. Then I went to Ohio for 18 years, and then to West Virginia for 9. I was telling the Pastor Townsley about a little bit about my ministry, and he made the statement. He says, it seems like God has moved you and taken you to places where you had to fix some things. Kind of looking back, I think that kind of has been my ministry. And I kind of really wish I could be like Pastor Townsley and just been in one place for 45 years or 89 years or 113 years, however long he's been here, right? And God has different plans for different people. I don't know what God is going to do with you. I don't know, is he going to leave you in the Northeast? Is he going to take you out west somewhere? Is he going to take you to Asia somewhere? Are you going to be a missionary in Africa? I don't know. Watch. But when the ark of God begins to move and you know that you are to follow, go after it. Go after it. You can't live life without the power and presence of God in your life. So what am I to go after? The ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Let's look real quick what happened when they followed or went after the ark. Real quick, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, and Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. Look at verse number 8. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, look at verse number 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Look at verse number 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the, talk to me, the ark of the Lord. Look at verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the what? The ark of the covenant before the people. What happened? Look at verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is before Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Verse 17, read it with me now. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground unto all the people that were passed clean over. Can I just tell you real quick to wrap it all up? What happened when they followed the ark? What happened when they went after the ark? I'll tell you what happened. A miracle from God took place. You look at the Jordan River and say, there's no way I can get from here to the ministry. There's no way I can get from here to marriage. I've never done this before. I don't know if I can be a dad or be a mom. I don't think I can be a missionary. Yes, you can. As the ark of God goes and you follow it and the power and presence of God comes, the ark, the Bible says, when their souls, when their feet touch the edge of that water, God stepped in and did a miracle. Can God still do miracles today? Absolutely. Oh, does he work a little differently in the New Testament age? Yes, absolutely. Nonetheless, I serve a God who is able to come through when I need him to come through. And that's the kind of ministry I want you to have. And I think that's the kind of ministry that you would desire to have as well. A ministry that is touched by a miraculous God. There are going to be times, kids, and I'm done. There's going to be times when you're going to come up against a brick wall. We often say that pastors often quit the ministry every Monday morning. After Sunday is done and you've given everything you have, you left it all out on the field and you've counseled until it was late. And my wife and I have teased for 32 years. We're always the first ones to arrive and the last ones to leave. And it just seems as if your life gets wrung out. It seems like every Monday morning you kind of say, is it worth it? Is what I'm doing worth it? Can I say to you, number one, yes, it is worth it. The call of God is always worth it. But may I also say there's going to be times when you come to the end. The song says, when I've come to the end of my human resources, that wonderful grace that we just heard about sung a moment ago, that grace is sufficient for you. You know where that grace comes from? The ark of God, the presence of God, the power of God. Watch in your relationship with it. But if you stay on this side the Jordan and the ark moves ahead, you're all alone. You're all alone. There's no worse feeling than to be in a pickle in life and look up and say, where's God? You know, Saul got to that spot, didn't he? That's a whole other thought here. Remember King Saul got to the end of his reign? He said, I pray and it seems as if God doesn't hear me. Well, he had disobeyed. He had not done what God asked him to do and he was very alone. I guess I'm just trying to say, guys, as you move, ladies, as you move across the Jordan River in many cases is representative of your ministry and your life and what God has called you to do. Please, please, please don't go without God. Don't try to go without God. The Ark of the Covenant, but you must be sanctified. You must get ready. You must be being prepared. That's what college is all about. So that tomorrow, and that tomorrow may be next year, next May, some of you men may enter into a pastorate after you graduate. It may be the mission field in 4 years or after deputation, 6 years. I don't know when it is. Your marriage date, when your first baby comes. I don't know when all of those tomorrows are going to happen. But I do know you won't be ready for tomorrow until you make decisions today about going after God. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please?